We celebrate you, we honor you, and we worship you. We thank you again for your mercy and your faithfulness that has preserved us, that has enabled us to be faithful, and now is causing us to triumph always. And so will establish us. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Father, I pray you put the same anointing and unction upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God in great measure will be released to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, indeed, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. We will do it with precision. I will redeem the time and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. All those in agreement with that prayer, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual lives, said,
Amen.
Amen. Once again, we wish every one of us a wonderful new year, in good health, in wealth, in spiritual growth and prosperity, triumphing always by the fullness and the mercy of God. This afternoon or this morning, I have a message. It's a prophetic message that the Lord gave me. And you know, I'd actually forgotten that Sunday was going to be after the watch night service. I'm talking about when I received these messages. I received these messages weeks ago, you know, and so when I realized today was Sunday, it just dovetailed with what I shared with us yesterday. I have entitled it The Sweet Odors of Esther. You know, and it's such a profound truth that is inside the Word of God. This year is going to be sweet for you. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bible to Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2 and verse 12. Esther chapter 2 and verse 12. This is 11. Thank you. And keep it in the King James until I say otherwise. The King James is very important here. Keep it in the King James until I say otherwise. Let us read together. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, or to know, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with the other things for the purifying of the women. Now, of course, this is a historical fact of what happened to Esther in the natural, physically. You know, King Ahasuerus wanted to give him a new queen because of the rebellion of Vashti. And so they looked around the kingdom and they chose girls from all over the whole place. And one of the girls that was chosen was this Jewish girl who was an orphan, really, but she was staying with her uncle Mordecai, called Esther. And for them to go in to be with the king, they had to be cleansed, you know, because it's still true today. Back in those days, people who came from a, what you can call a normal background, you know, sweat and working back in those days. And still today, you know, people getting all kinds of physical labor and the odor from their bodies was not pleasing. It would not be pleasing to the king, who'd been used to luxury, who'd been used to, you know, staying in that very luxurious and opulent environment in the palace. So in order to prepare them, they would, and I understand, I did a little bit of research on this, you know, I understand that these things are still done today to some degree. You know, they would take them through 12 months, can you imagine, of preparation, and they would give them oil of myrrh. The myrrh is supposed to go deep into the skin and remove all the things, impurities, if you like, you know, that would cause them to not smell properly. And then after the 6 months of oil of myrrh, they will now give them 6 months of sweet odors. If you look at some of the modern translations, it says perfumes, you know, and they'll be applying it daily, so that after the 12 months, the girl's natural, what will, when she talks and when she comes into the room, you know, what will come out of her will be a sweet smell, rather than the one that would have come out if when she was first taken, you know, some of them were just village girls, some of them were just, you know, taken from farms and things like that, and the years of labor in that environment had caused all those impurities to be a part of their system. So it had to be removed by this very thorough a purification process. Now, it is amazing how this parallels with our own preparation into come before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why the Bible tells us, this is the shadow. The Bible tells us that all the Old Testament things are shadows. The reality, the substance, we find them in Christ. This is the Old Testament shadow. But the New Testament reality, you find in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at it in verses 26 and 27. It's the same thing. This is the spiritual shadow, but this is the real the reality. And that is why we can't just go before God. I'm talking now about coming into the manifestation of the power and the glory of God, where Jesus takes us now as his bride. I'm not talking about heaven now. I'm talking about when God can present you so that what comes out of you does not smell. When he presents you to the world as his bride, when he presents you to the world, you know, as his sons and daughters that are carrying his glory, there will be no smell. There will be nothing odious. There will be nothing that will be disgraceful. Hence, the preparation period is extremely intense and important. Hello. Look at it. You see it here in Ephesians, you know, it says he gave himself for the church in verse 25. And it says that he might. It's a purpose. Sadly and regrettably, many Christians don't submit to this treatment or long enough. So he's not able to do it. But this is what he wants to do for everybody. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. Now, in those days, they used perfume. We're going to see the spiritual equivalents in a minute. You know, sanctified with the washing of water by the word. Next verse, verse 27. That, you see, there's a focal point. There's a purpose. He might present it to himself, what? A glorious church. Let's say that in a simple, practical way. A church that is manifesting his glory. That's just simple. A glorious church. We're a church already, but we're not glorious yet. Working on it. And this 2017 is going to be a year of sweet odors for you.
Because we are prophetically in a time frame of a place where those sweet odors are now being, and I'm going to explain what it means to you in great detail, you know, are now being given to us to use to clean ourselves from the inside. So that when He finally presents us as a glorious church, it will be without spot. Is it not having spot or wrinkle or blemish? Another translation, you know, what translation is this? There's the word that says blemish. You know, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy. Okay, that's a blemish. And without blemish. It's interesting and insightful to see that this illustration is used of the skin. Where are their spots? Skin. Fine boy, no pimples. Hello, somebody. Where are their wrinkles? In the skin. Where are their blemishes? In the skin. And it's very interesting that it is that same illustration that is used to describe the church from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Tall and smooth of skin. Hallelujah. All these things are not accidents. They are deep spiritual truths that have been hidden inside the scripture for thousands of years. But the day of their revelation has come. God has removed the seals. That is why it's very significant that those 21 Chibok girls were released exactly the day I saw that thing. It shook me. It's exactly 2.5 years. It was not 2 years. Is 2.5. Why the 6 months? Because the season has changed. Because for the first, you know, they were abducted in 2014. Then they were kept in captivity for so long, you know, and we've been praying and praying and praying, praying for the nation and all of that. Prayer, but you don't see anything. Prayer, but you don't see anything. Prayer, but you don't see anything. Suffering, but you continue in it. And then suddenly, it's a sign. It's a spiritual sign. We now begin to see a result. Then it goes from myrrh to sweet. Amen. You begin to see what God is doing. You begin to see that the prayers and the preparation is not in vain, because you can now begin to see the victory. You can now begin to see the prevailing in the heavenlies shown by that sign. So we're in that period now, you know, where the sweet odors, if I wrote it down, you know, are the prayers that we're offering up, you know, this is why this mercy thing becomes very important. By the mercy of God, the mercy of God being superimposed on our prayers, causing them to triumph always. Every triumph is a sweet odor. Every triumph is a sweet odor. You see, we've been praying before, but we didn't see anything in the natural. We didn't see any physical manifestation that showed us what was going on. But when we saw that was the sign, and from then up till now, and continuing, you're going to be going from triumph to triumph, from sweetness to sweetness. Odors are symbolic of prayer. Look at Revelation chapter 5. You know, the more I read this Bible, the more I respect it. I am 100% convinced that the Bible was written by God the Holy Spirit. It's too, the way the thing dovetails. There is no way Isaiah could be writing about tall and smooth of skin and connect it with Esther. Not possible. And connect it with Ephesians. When Paul was writing Ephesians, he was just writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Talking about without spot, blemish, wrinkle. He did not have Esther at the back of his mind. But look at the connection. The skin in Ephesians. Then the preparation of Esther here. And then the Zion church from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, tall and smooth of skin. It's us he's talking about. Like Paul said in one place, doth God take care for oxen? He's not talking about oxen. He's using oxen as the symbolism, but the reality behind that symbolism is us. Are you listening to it? The reality behind this symbolism is us. and from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Why Nigeria? Why was it in Nigeria that the very day they took those girls was when the blood moon started? Because the very day. You know why? The spiritual warfare went up. And Nigeria was the place where it started. Satan attacked. Let me tell you what the actual intention was. We foiled it by the Spirit. It's to scatter Nigeria. That was the purpose. And had we not been praying with the oil of myrrh and the suffering, Nigeria would have scattered. Make no mistake about it. But thank God, hallelujah, hallelujah, we took our place. I want to thank God for my wife. I want to thank God, Pastor Boyega, and all the intercessors, all of you, really. You know, I want to thank God for taking your place. It was bitter. When that election took place and Buhari won, it was bitter. Oil of myrrh. But it was the will of God for that time. You know, if it had been the opposite way around, Nigeria would have scattered. Jonathan had the disposition to be gracious. The other side did not. It's just the same that happened in America. If it had been the other way around, we will be hearing now about rigged election. Probably riots in the South, in places like Texas, and all these boys with their guns and everything. God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. None of these things are accidents. They are prophetic. They are prophetic manifestations. They are prophetic fulfillments, is the word I'm looking for, of spiritual truths that have been in the Bible hidden unto such a time as this. And now He's now sent His servants like myself and others who by the Spirit are able to bring them out and make it clear to us what God is doing. Are you listening to me? Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. You see what an odor is. And when He had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them, what? Harps, that represents worship, and golden vials full of what? Sweet odors. Sweet odors. Oh, your prayers in 2017 are going to be sweet odors. You know why? You're going to be praying and seeing results. 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 Praying and seeing result. Praying and seeing result. Praying and seeing result. Praying and seeing result. We used to pray and not see so many results. That was the bitter. But it was doing a work. Oh. He says, let patience have a perfect work. He says, after you have done the will of God, after you've gone through the bitterness, then you will receive the sweet odors. Oh! Hallelujah! I have great respect for this book. It was written by a master. Only God. You know, these are threads you cannot connect without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. I've been reading this Bible for years. I didn't see all of these things until now. Until recently. Sons of Issachar that had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. We're in the season, and that's why I entitled it, I've never heard any message like that before. When I got it, I said, God, sweet odors of Esther. Let me give you another scripture. It's in Ecclesiastes 11:7. I preached this about 20 years ago. You know, why it becomes sweet? You begin to get revelation. Light comes to your eyes. Hallelujah. You know, you can pray and you're not seeing anything. Then you can pray and you start seeing something. When you start seeing something, it becomes sweet. Look at Ecclesiastes 11. Say, truly, the light is what? Sweet. And a pleasant thing it is to behold the sun. Who is the sun of righteousness? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you are reading this Bible, you don't just be reading it in the natural. It's symbolic. It's symbolic. Today when I was reading my Bible, my normal Bible reading, you know, this scripture came to me, you know, about Joseph when he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. It's very instructive, this interpretation, because the same principles of interpretation are applicable today. The principles. Pharaoh had two dreams. The first dream, he saw stalks of corn. One were good, the other were bad. Then the bad ones ate up the good ones, and then he woke up. In the second dream, he saw cows. They were thin ones and they were fat ones. The thin ones ate the fat ones, and then he woke up. He had no clue what it meant. When Joseph was called and to interpret the dream, he said this, and this is the same thing I'm saying to you now in principle. He said the dream is one. You see, the important thing was not the corn. The important thing was not the cows. It was what they represented, and they represented the same thing. That is how the scripture is. There are a lot of symbolisms inside the Bible. Do you understand? Different symbolisms, but the dream is one. What is the dream? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whether you're looking at it in Esther, or you're looking at it in the book of Judges, or you're looking at it in Gideon, or you're looking at it in Joel, or you're looking at it in Haggai, I've come to see it now. It's one. The dream is one. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You will never misinterpret when you understand that. God does not have two purposes. He has only one. And this is his purpose, that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. This is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach and teach, warning every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The dream is one. So when I began to see this, these odors of Esther, I saw it's just another symbolism of the same dream. Odors, sweet odors. Hallelujah. Oh, 2007 is going to be sweet for you. Like I said last night, or earlier this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's not that we won't have our bumps, but you'll be fastened by the mercy of God. And you will come through every turbulence. And at the end of the day, it will be sweet. Because the end will always be sweet. The end will always end in triumph. It will end in victory. It is going to be sweet. Hallelujah. Am I helping anybody here? Amen. I could say the grace now, we could go home. Glory be to God. These are prophetic, deep prophetic truths. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. And so, we are in that time now, you know, the season, the period of the sweet odors. And what it is going to eventually end up with is the manifestation of the glory of God. God will now be able to present us a glorious church to the world. And there will be no defects. Because of the work of the sweet odors that would have removed the internal impurities. That's why there's this strong emphasis now on honesty of heart, on purity of motive. The world is going to see what they have never seen before. They're going to see the most powerful people, the richest people, and yet the most humble people, and yet the most simple people. And they won't be able to understand it. And you know what? It's going to make them fall in love with us. Not all of them. But many people are going to be attracted. Because they will... you know, that's why the Isaiah prophesies this. Like I said, the dream is one. All these different symbolisms, the dream is one. That's why I said... he says, men of stature. They shall come to you in chains. And you're not the one who is forcing them to do it. It's something they are seeing. And they will come before you and they'll say, surely. They are convinced. Surely God is in you. Oh, look at Pharaoh. He was convinced that God was in Joseph. Joseph didn't force him. Joseph did not try and con him like some guys. He wasn't trying to manipulate him. He just told him the basic truth. And when he gave him the truth, in his heart, Pharaoh understood. He said, surely, God is in thee. He said, who can be smarter than you? And he said, everything I have is under your control. The day of the church is coming. Amen. The natural governments will be there. They will do their normal parliament and they do their work. But the true control will be with the church. We don't have to join political office. Now, some of us may. But we don't really have to join political office. You know, Joseph was not a part of the political system. God just brought him from outside. With the wisdom of God. And then he now controlled the system. He now determined what would happen inside. Pharaoh said, he said, only in the throne will I be higher than you. He said, by your word, my people shall be ruled. And that's exactly what happened. Hallelujah. And God now uses that as a type. Again, the dream is one. Joseph is just a symbolism for the end time church, who will teach his senators wisdom and bind his spirit, his senators, and bind his princes at his pleasure. Oh yes, it's on the way. A glorious church. A glorious church without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. You look at them from this angle, is okay. You look at them from that angle, is okay. You look at them from that angle, is okay. You look at them from that angle, is okay. Everything sweet. Sweet odors. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. The sweet odors of Esther. Hallelujah. Now, it's also extremely important that we remember this. You know, many times when God gives us revelation and people get very excited, which is not a bad thing. But again, we need a little bit of wisdom and caution. And many times we jump the gun. You see, when the truth of the blood moons began to be revealed, I remember, you know, people like John Hagee and others, you know, who wrote books, people were expecting all kinds of things. You know, and thinking that, oh, the blood moon, some people said the blood moon is going to represent the rapture. Some, you know, and all kinds of speculations and all kind of thing. You know, many times that kind of thing is immature. Because if you look at the scriptures very carefully, the Bible did not say that the manifestation will come at the blood moon. It actually said is when you see the blood moon, you know it's near. And twice in the scripture, in Joel chapter 2, in verse 31, put that up, it actually tells us it's going to be after, not before. He said, the sun and the moon will go dark and they'll become like blood before, not after. So we are right on target because it has passed. But whereas, you know, sometimes, you know, we were expecting maybe it's going to happen immediately at that time. No. He said it was going to be after. He said so. The man said so. The sun shall be turned down and the moon of blood before. So the great and terrible of the Lord is after the blood moon, not at the blood moon. So we're right on target. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Jesus said the same thing. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. You know, that's how you know this thing was written by the Holy Spirit. This one here is Joel. And then suddenly Jesus, you know, by the Spirit, he picks it. He picks it by the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, Jesus was operating as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was the greatest rabbi, the greatest teacher, prophetic teacher that has ever walked the earth. He picked this by the Holy Ghost. And he said, he talked about the sun and the moon and all of that, and distress of nations because of time. He said, and when these things begin to come to pass. In other words, it's not when they come to pass, it's when they begin to come to pass. Then what? Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, these things will come to pass and then the redemption will come. Which follows, and I love the Bible. the exact sequence of Haggai. We saw it last night. Look at the sequence. I will shake the nations. The blood moons represent the intensity of the spiritual warfare in which the powers of the heavens are being shaken, which is now causing the shaking of the nations. It is after that that the desire of the nations come. It is after that that I will fill this house with glory. The sequences are the same. So the shaking of the nations, you know, the blood moon represented the beginning of the shaking of the nations. And amazingly, it just followed the way that they, first of all, Nigeria, 2014, then 2015, our election, the whole world was waiting to see if Nigeria would scatter. And that election shook this nation. Then the next one was the Brexit. Nobody expected it to happen, but it happened like that. Then the next one was the American elections. You know, but when you look at it, and you look at it carefully, you see what God is doing. He's putting a pause on excess liberalism. Amen? Then he's going to use these other guys, you know, to bring a balance. But he's not going to allow them to move to the other extreme. They will not be allowed to do that because of the church. The church will police them. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Oh, you will see. You gotta get to know guys like us now. We're going to be very important in the future. Amen. Come and see us. Unfortunately, we are without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. So we're not going to give you contract. If you come and see us, we'll just say, go and pray. Hello, somebody. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Our influence with kings will not be for personal gain. It will be for the glory of God. And for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. And so, we've seen all of these things. And so, as I begin to close, what we understand now is this sweet odors, like I said, odors are a type of prayer. Incense, you know, is going to be sweet because we're going to be seeing the triumph from one triumph to the other, and it's going to get sweeter and sweeter. Tell your neighbor, say, your prayer life is going to get sweeter and sweeter. And that's why you must constantly pray, like we said last night, with the mercy of God, with faith in the mercy of God, to superimpose upon your prayers, because that's what's going to cause your prayers to triumph. Your willing and your running is very important. We use the Lord Jesus Christ as an example last night, and I think he's the best example we can ever use. Folks, if Jesus needed mercy, who do you think you are? With all of Jesus's faith, with all of Jesus's intensity in prayer, like I said last night, it wasn't a two minute prayer. He prayed 1 hour, they were sleeping. He prayed the second hour, they were sleeping. The angel did not show up until the third hour. Hello, somebody. So you must pray with a consciousness of and faith in the mercy of God that is on top of you. This is you now. You're doing your own stuff, you know. You're praying and groaning and all that, which is great. And you need it. You have to run, you have to will. But you must always have a consciousness. And God has helped me, and I'm developing that. I'm always looking up. And you know, I saw Jesus do that in his ministry. When he raised Lazarus, he looked up. Hello? When he fed the 5,000, he looked up. Hello, somebody. He saw a power, he was conscious of a power above himself. Even though he had power inside. Mm-hmm. He knew that the power inside must join with the power outside. Yeah. For it to prevail. Hallelujah. So we must have that consciousness. Remember those cherubims. That's a very wonderful picture Mommy shared with us. It's a beautiful illustration that is very easy to keep in your mind. Under the, it's in between the wings of the cherubims, which represents a angelic ministry, and the mercy seat. It is in between the two of them. The law is under. The mercy seat is above. Is the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. Then you have the angels, the cherubims, on top. So it is in between the wings of the cherubims and the mercy seat. He said, that's where I'll commune with you. So when you pray in these sweet odors, you must pray with that consciousness of the mercy of God through the ministry of angels. I'm going to repeat it. When you pray, you must pray with the consciousness in your heart, you know, of the mercy of God coming on top of your prayers through the ministry of angels. And that is why, interestingly and revealingly, God now gives us a picture. And only Luke records that thing. You don't see it in Matthew. You don't see it in Mark. You hear that he prayed. It's only in Luke that we see that revelation and an angel appeared to him. Why? To fulfill the scripture of the angelic cherubs that are going to cause the mercy of God to cause you to prevail. Are you listening to me? Now I'm going to add a small proviso here. Don't go looking for angels. Amen? I got news for you. The Holy Spirit just dropped this to me earlier this morning when I was praying, and then, you know, even now he put it into my remembrance. He said those angels were always there. He said I just showed them so that it could be recorded for your benefit and for your understanding. Are you listening to me? When you're praying, your prayer life is intricately interwoven with the ministry of angels. Amen. God, they're always there. So you don't go and start looking for angels. Amen. Just in your heart, believe it in faith, you know, and that ministry will happen. Are you listening to me? You don't go and start, you know, don't start praying to Holy Gabriel and Holy Michael and all of that. You're not supposed to do that. You pray in the name of Jesus. And you know, the Bible tells us this, to do this. Look at Jude chapter 1. I think I'm going to end there. There's only one chapter in Jude anyway. It's verses 20 and 21. Look at this. But ye beloved, if you're beloved, let me see your hand. Wave it properly. Wave it so I know that you are. Now turn to your neighbor. If your neighbor is waving his hand, say, it is God, it is you this scripture is talking to. He said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying, sweet odors, praying in the Holy Ghost. Stop. Why the Holy Ghost? Why not in the understanding? You know why? When it's in the understanding alone, there is a restriction on the ministry of angels. But when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says you speak in tongues of men and of... another word for you. There are many things you say you understand and angels cannot obey because they are not scriptural. But there is nothing you say in the Spirit that angels cannot obey. I'm going to say it again. There's a lot of stuff you can say with your English or your Yoruba or your natural understanding. If it is not in line with the word and will of God, no angels can move. But there is nothing you say in the Holy Ghost that the angels cannot support, because it is their master that is talking through you. Every prayer in the Spirit is supported by the ministry of angels. That's why it is in the Holy Ghost. Now, next verse. And then you see the mercy seat. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So I'm praying, but I'm also looking for mercy. So I've now got the two things. I've got the Holy Ghost, I've got the ministry of angels, and I've got the mercy seat. So all my prayers will be sweet odors. They will triumph. They will triumph. Hallelujah. I'm going to go from triumph to 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 triumph. It's going to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. You don't want it to be sweet. I said it's going to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. My odors are going to get sweeter and 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 sweeter until I am presented before God as glorious. Hallelujah! Stand to your feet. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when I'm praying, I should be looking for something. That looking there is not physical. It's in your eyes of your understanding. It's your mind. So I'm praying though, but I'm looking for mercy of God to superimpose upon this prayer. I'm not praying by my own strength and gra-gra alone. For it is not of him that runneth, but I will run. It is not of him that willeth, but I will. But of God. So I have to look for that mercy while I'm praying. I don't know if I talk to anybody here. Hallelujah. Oh, it's going to get sweeter and sweeter. Amen. And one day, when that work of purification has been done in your heart and in your mind, you presented a glorious church. In other words, God will now be able to manifest the glory through you. That's the purpose of the sweet odors. To bring us, like it did Esther in the natural, where she could come before the king. And it's very interesting, in the particular case of Esther, he says, and the king loved her above all the other women. Daniel, a man greatly beloved. He had his sweet odors. So when he came before God, nothing was stinking from his heart. Everything was a pure, pure incense. His heart was pure. So the angel said, a man greatly beloved. You know, your prayers give God pleasure. From the very first day you prayed, say God heard. And he sent again the angels. And said, but there was a prince of Persia, and it would be 120 days. But you stayed on course. You stayed in your place of responsibility. You didn't shirk. You stayed there and you prayed me through. And here I am. Amen. It's going to get sweeter for you. I said it's going to get sweeter for you. 2017, your prayer life is going to be sweet. Sweet odors. And look for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got another word just before we pray. Show mercy to others. You see, the person who is looking for mercy must show mercy. If you don't show mercy, it's going to hinder your mercy. Key, man. Very heavy key. Looking, if you are looking for mercy when you are praying, then when you go out of the prayer place and you meet people who need mercy, you need to show it to them. Hence he said, you know, that's why I know this Bible is written by the Holy Spirit. You know what he said? He said, keeping yourself in the love of God. You can't walk in love and not in mercy. In fact, many times the word love is translated as mercy. It's very interesting that in Isaiah 16, which we looked at yesterday evening, in verse 5, he said, a throne shall be established in mercy. If you look at the modern translation, it says in love. Give it to me. Isaiah 16 verse 5. And in mercy shall the throne. I remember one day a throne to be established. You know you're a king. I don't know if you know. Maybe you don't know. I behave like a pauper. In mercy, I'm going to make this personal. Shall your throne be established, and you will sit upon it in truth. Look at the connection. You know, you have to be telling the truth to yourself in your heart if you want your throne to be established. And you have to have mercy. Now, give this to me, New International Version. And in love. Here, he uses them interchangeably. You want to look for mercy? Walk in love. Remember, mommy shared that thing with us about the two servants. One begged the man, the king, said he looked at the children, looked at the wife, said, if they sell these people, what happened? He said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Forgive you. You know? The same person. And you know, we do exactly the same thing. Goes out and catches one of his own fellow servants. Pay me all! Or else I'll throw you in jail. And the guy says exactly the same thing he said to the king. Please, be patient with me. He said, he should have had the same mercy he had just received. He should have given it to his fellow servant. But nay. You know, that's our problem. We're thinking about what they did to me. And how I felt. You know, I can never forget it. You know, whereas, if you want these sweet odors, you have to walk in mercy. When that guy walked in, when he didn't walk in mercy, the king said they should go and get him and let him be put in jail and give him to be tormentors. It will not be your portion. Always remember, what people have done for you is far less than what Jesus suffered on the cross. I'm going to say it again. What people have done for you. You don't know. You know, the disgrace Jesus had on the cross. The pain Jesus had on the cross. The sufferings he had in hell. To set you free is far greater than any hurt anybody could have done for you. Therefore, release them. Hallelujah. Release them. So you can enjoy the fullness of the mercy of God, so that this 2017, your prayers will be prayers of sweet odors. Let us pray. Talk to God. You are the peace that guards my heart, my help in time of need.
You are the hope,
you are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting. God. 2017, the heart is going to be critical, because it is what attracts the mercy of God. And that's why it's, you are the peace that guards my heart. I didn't sing that song by accident. I was given to it by the Spirit. Your heart, guard it. Guard it. Remember what I said about David yesterday? How come David's heart pricked him when he caught Saul's skirt? But 20 years down the road, the same heart did not prick him when he sent for Bathsheba. The heart had degraded. The sensitivity of his heart, the honesty of his heart had dropped. In fact, the Holy Spirit is telling me, he said, he just told me right now, he said if his heart had been where it should be, he would never have stayed at home during the going battle. His heart would have smote him. The same way his heart smote him, he would have said, even though I'm not feeling strong, I will go with the troops. And I will stay under my tent with the ark while the boys go to go and fight. He could have done that. He didn't have to go and fight physically. He just needed to be with them and, you know, maybe be about 5 miles or 10 miles away from the war front. And then he could have rested. His heart didn't strike him anymore because the heart had deteriorated. Your heart will not deteriorate in 2017. Your heart is going to increase in honesty, in humility. This mercy thing is an issue of the heart. It's not so much an issue of deeds. Now, it will affect deeds later on. Don't misunderstand me. It is an issue of the heart. Raise that hand and touch that heart. Touch it. Be me. I'm not talking about just symbolically, yes, with your hand, but in your heart. Say, God. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on me. As we pray, oh God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for giving us understanding of the times, even these times of sweet odors, and what Israel, the church, ought to do. Oh God, oh God, oh God, I raise my heart before you. Oh, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Give me a sensitive heart, a heart that will show mercy to others, a heart that will desire to do your will, a heart that will speak only the truth to myself. Oh God, remove from me vanity and lies. Oh God, like my father David prayed, I pray, remove from me vanity and lies. Remove from me deception. Your word tells me the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only you, only you, only you knows the hearts of men. Oh God, help my heart. Keep my heart pure. Keep my heart honest. Keep my heart humble. Guard my heart in 2017. So by the time I end this year, my heart will be more honest. My heart will be more humble. My heart will be more sensitive than it is now. It will not deteriorate. It will increase in sensitivity. It will increase in honesty. It will increase in humility. Because I know now that the key to my mercy that will cause me to triumph, to enjoy sweet odors, is my heart. And therefore, I ask for mercy upon my heart. Strengthen me to run. Strengthen me to will. Strengthen me to walk in your word. But above all, let mercy be superimposed upon my running. Upon my running. Let your mercy be superimposed upon my running. Upon my willing. So that I will always triumph. And my odors will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter until I can be presented before you a glorious church through which your glory will be made manifest unto the nations of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Lapakatoshka Fredes. Zifridi Antolomashala. Lebrigatoski Frininga Tushka Frenes. Loprinera. Remember, as you are praying in the spirit, looking for the mercy. As you are praying in your heart, be looking for mercy. Don't just pray in abstract. See him that is invisible. And be saying, God, as I pray, as I'm praying now, Lord, let your mercy be said down in your heart as you're praying in tongues. Praying in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy. Praying in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy. Praying in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy. Lipriketoske Fredes. Jiki to Fredengaras. Lopredena Mashoko. Limbriketusku Frinia. Yukoros. Zefrini. Langatolo Mosholo. Lingardolo Matufres. Zifria. Yekito. Lambriketusku Frine. Lambrigamatolo Moshala. Lambrigamatolo Matolo Matufri Dufrishi. Donga Gromatolo Matolo Matufri Dufrishi. Lambrika tolo matolo matufri du freshe. Zoko, lambrika matolo matolo matushka fre. Lambrika matolo matufri des. Zifrines. Ziranaras. Zelipridolos. Zifrines. Lengardalas. Zelikaras. Nufrines. Nufrines. Lombrides. Zelipridolos. Nikutolo masaras. Zifrides. Lombridilis. Zikitofrines. No garadas, Zifride, Lambridish, Shukutufrines, Lombridile Mashakaros. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. See and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. For the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Say, 2017, your prayers will be sweet odors. They're going to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. As you go from triumph to triumph to triumph to triumph, in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Enjoy yourselves.